here it goes. I think that happened once before when somebody was recording. 1 Peter chapter 5. We're going to begin there first. I changed my mind this morning. I was kind of, this came on my mind and I couldn't get it off, so I'm going to preach on the armor of God and the situation with the enemy that we have to deal with. Peter understood that because he went through a time in his life where he was tested and he denied the Lord. But the great blessing about Peter is that on the day of Pentecost, God used Peter in a powerful way. So even though we get knocked down all the time, we don't have to stay down. God's grace will lift us back up. 1 Peter chapter 5. And this, again, reading of verse 7. Casting all your care upon Him, for He careth for you. We must continually keep this in front of our eyes. God does care. How many times do we come to the point that no one cares about my life or who I am or the trials I'm going through? It seems like at times we all get cast down like that. And Peter is reminding us to cast all your care upon Him because He does care for you. And we need to remember that. Then he says, be sober. I mean, be spiritually alert. Be vigilant. This is not something to be lazy about or be indifferent about. This is something you need to be very vigilant about. Because your adversary, the devil, as a roaring lion, walketh about seeking whom he may devour. Whom resist steadfast in the faith, knowing that the same afflictions are accomplished in your brethren that are in the world. But the God of all grace, who hath called us into His eternal glory by Christ Jesus, after that you have suffered a while, make you perfect or mature, establish, strengthen, settle you. To Him be glory and dominion forever and ever. Amen. May we pray. Our gracious and loving Father, as we bow in Thy presence, we thank You for the Word of God. We thank You for the Lord Jesus, for the God the Father and the Holy Spirit. We thank You for the strength You give us in our lives and pray that You will bless us this morning through the ministry of the Word by the power of the Holy Spirit. In Jesus' name we pray. Amen. Beloved, as we look around, you don't have to look very far. Just look in our own families and see the needs there is. Spiritual needs. We are living in an age when it says, the Lord says, the love of many shall wax cold. The love of many. We see that. Even among a lot of God's people, that love is waxing cold. A lot of people are getting discouraged. They're getting tired of fighting the spiritual battle. But Peter says here, be sober, be vigilant, because your adversary, the devil, is a roaring lion walking about seeking whom he may devour. Now, as Christians, he cannot destroy our soul. But he can make it hard on us. Remember, he's a tempter for one thing. As we're going to get more into this, as we get into the Word of God, we're going to see more and more things that Satan does. Going back now to Ephesians chapter 6. We see the need of this. And as I said, because each one of us have problems, we have sisters, brothers, cousins, uncles, nephews, nieces, we have sisters and brothers. We have so many that have needs. And some people have no one but us to pray for them. Beloved, God has brought you into the kingdom for such a time as this. That was told to Esther. We are here today to be a shining light, to be an example, to be here to intercede and pray for those that we know and to encourage them and to strengthen them and to help people and to guide them according to God's Word. The greatest need today is for the people to follow the teachings of God's Word. Why is there so much confusion? Because everybody's doing that which is right in their own eyes. I'm going to do my thing. I'm going to go my way until Satan knocks them on their back and then bang. But that's not the time for us to stop, to give up, It's a time to encourage them, to help them, to reach out to them, to be a strength to them, to encourage them, to show them in the Word of God that there's help in God, that God is able to strengthen them, to raise them up if they've sinned. God is able to forgive their sins. If they've fallen, God's able to lift them up. We need to be a shining light in the midst of an adulterous and wicked generation. And you remember the words of the Apostle Paul who said, "Let him that thinketh he standeth take heed lest he fall." None of us in this congregation this morning are beyond falling, beloved. Everyone here could fall. Everyone. We could. We're not infallible. We're creatures. We're humans. We have a fallen nature. And, beloved, it's by the grace of God that we're still standing and serving God as Christians. You look out in the world today and look at the divorce rate, how it's alarming even among professing Christians. 40, 50, 60% divorce rate. Why is that? Because people are not basing marriage upon the principles of God's Word, and it's so important that we do that. It's hard, yes, it's difficult. Satan would tempt you in your weakest point. Now, every one of us is different. We all have different weaknesses. I have mine. Roger has his. David has his. But Satan knows how to come to each one of us, Brother Jeremiah, and tempt us. He knows. And he'll work overtime in that one area of your life, trying to break our allegiance to Jesus Christ. That's his whole purpose. What did he tell the Lord? "I'll give you all these kingdoms if you'll fall down and worship me." Now, this is something you must keep constantly in front of your mind. Satan wants to blind you from this. Anytime we serve sin, we serve Satan. Every idol, so-called religion in the world, whether it be Buddha, Hindu, no matter what it may be, Paul says that the idol is nothing, but behind every idol is a demon. So they are actually worshiping demons and don't know it. Demonical power. Satan is behind all the gods, small g, of this world. That's why there's so much confusion in the religious world, because they're not serving the true and living God that we serve. That's why they're persecuting the Christian today. That's why things are coming against the child of God, against Christians, because they say we're bigot. They say, "Well, you don't accept other religions." No, because we serve the true and living God. We will not bow to any other God. We must have the same faith and strength as Daniel and the three Hebrew children who would not bow to another God. If we die, we die. If God delivers, okay. And if He doesn't, okay. We need to maintain that type of attitude in our Christian life. And as I say, each one of us personally, I went through my mind last night at each one of you and the things I know that need to be praying about in each of our lives. I know a lot of you and your families, and I've known them for 20 years. And so I started praying for these individuals. Beloved, we need to really hold each other up in prayer, our families. We're in spiritual warfare. It's serious. Need to pray for each other. Susie and Bill asked prayer for their children. Sister Mabel and Dave asked prayer for their children. Others asked prayer for their children. We need to be praying for them because of the situation that we're living in. Now, getting to the book of Ephesians, which we've known. We've went through this many times, but I felt burdened this morning to bring this to you. And before we look at that, I want to read one more verse to encourage you during this conflict. We have to remind ourselves of this constantly. In 1 Corinthians 10:13, you need to write this down. You need to memorize it. You need to go to it every day to remind yourself. "There hath no temptation or trial taken you, but such is common to man. But God is faithful, who will not suffer you to be tempted above that you are able." There is no excuse for sin. None. God said, "I will not allow you to be tempted above your ability to stand." Remember, Paul says we can do all things through Christ, but we'll, with the temptation, also make a way to escape that you may be able to bear it or endure it. The trouble with us, too many times we don't want to get victory over the temptation. We want the temptation. Oh, me. There is when we're tested. We are all tested in this area, beloved. We will be tested. But God has promised that He would not put anything upon us greater than we can bear, and that He would, with the temptation, make a way of exodus. There's an exit sign back there on the way out in case we have an emergency in the church. There's one there and one over here. Beloved, God promised you and I He would give us an exodus, a way out. But if we refuse to take it, whose fault is it? It's our fault. Now, we can't blame everything on the devil. The devil made me do it. No, the devil don't make you do anything. He tempts us. We make the decision to sin. We do. I'm guilty. When we stand before God, God's not going to judge the devil for what you do. He's going to judge each one of us for what we do. We are the ones that sin. I sin, said David. Finally, my brethren, he's writing to the family of God. This is what we're concerned with. We're not concerned with the world out there, what they're doing. We're concerned with God's people. He says, finally, my brethren, be strong, be strengthened in the Lord and in the power of His might. The reason he starts there, as the only place we can find victory, is in who, Brother Roger? In the Lord. That's the only place we can find victory. Paul says in Hebrews, looking unto Jesus, the author and finisher of our faith. He says He is able to do exceedingly abundantly above all that we ask or think, Ephesians 3 and verse 20. Above all that you can even think, He can do beyond that. The power is there. The availability to stand is there. The reason of failure is selfishness. We choose to sin and we fall. And the enemy will tempt you and test you day after day after day after day after day until one day he sneaks in to your life. And once you get caught in that snare, it's not easy to get out. The only way to overcome these things is to stand on God's word. I will not sin against God willingly. Now that's easy to say. From my experience from 20 years old to now, I'm 72. All the things that I came through, I can say that's easy to say, but not easy to practice. Unless God gives us the strength, God gives us the ability, we are liable to fall. Not from grace, but from our steadfastness. Satan knows he can't get our souls. He knows he can't take us out of the arms of Jesus Christ and pluck us out of His hand. But he does know he can cause us to stumble and fall and leave a bad example for others to follow. And we can dishonor Christ by the life we live. He knows that. So first of all, I want you to realize that where you at this morning, we need to return to the Lord. If you're not walking in the light as He is in the light. John says, if we walk in the light, the Word of God as He is in the light, the blood of Christ does what? Cleanses us from all sin. Where would any of us be this morning if God didn't forgive us? We'd be guilty, we'd be undone. We'd be without hope. We'd be without mercy. We would be without God in the world if there wasn't the blood of Christ to cleanse us from all sin. But hallelujah. The blood of Jesus Christ, His Son, cleanses us from how much sin? All sin. That's what gives us hope from the past. That's what gives us hope in the present. That's what gives us hope in the future. The blood of Jesus Christ, His Son, in the present tense, is continually cleansing me from all sin, past, present, and future. Hallelujah. If it wasn't for that, we would be without hope. Because we stand in need every day of our great high priest, Jesus Christ. There's one mediator between God and man, the man Christ Jesus. We have one advocate with the Father, Jesus Christ the righteous. He's the one that we go to. We have a high priest over the house of God. There's only one high priest today, and that is Jesus Christ. There is no other priesthood. The priesthood was done away in Christ. He is the last priest. He's in heaven as what? Our high priest. The Bible says there's not many mediators. There's one mediator between God and man. That's why all these other religions that has more mediators, they have more of this, they have this, they have that, they have other ways to God. The Word of God says, no, there's only one mediator. There's only one advocate. And what is His name? Jesus Christ. Because He's God manifested in flesh. He can fellowship with God in His deity, and He can fellowship with man in His humanity. He has the nature of both in one person. That's the glorious, glorious teaching of the incarnation of Jesus Christ, which you pray for me in this area because I'll continue preaching on that in a few weeks. It's such a big subject. I'm taking my time to study it out, so you'll be praying for me. But that's an area where Satan has attacked the Lord of glory from the very beginning, attacked His deity. Tries to deny the deity of the eternal Son of God. But getting back to this, and in the power of His might. Now, we know this. We know there's power. We know everything in our head. We know about these things. But we need to experience this in our life. And it only comes through union with the Lord in prayer. How long has it been since you've really sought the Lord in prayer? I don't mean you say your prayers at night, Lord, lay me down to sleep. And if I die before I wake, I pray my Lord to take. I mean serious prayer where you are weeping at the foot of Jesus for those you love. It's sad. How long has it been since we've been broken for those we love? Who we've been praying for. But yet they're still in their sins, they're still in bondage, and our eyes are dry. It shows our condition, beloved, as the people of God. We're not broken because of the sinfulness of others. We're not broken because of our sins. That's why the things are in the churches and today are in the condition they're in. The need to return to our first love. As John speaks about in the book of Revelation. Verse 11, he says, put on the whole armor of God, that you may be able to stand against the wiles of the devil, the stratagems of the devil. We have to deal with a personal individual, and God in His Word describes him as Satan, the devil, Beelzebub. There's different names described to the devil, but this is the one that we have to contend with. A spiritual being, a fallen angel, who has more knowledge, greater power. Even the angel said, in the name of the Lord, I rebuke thee. This is the enemy we have to fight against. And yet we act like it's nothing. We don't take it serious. And he's set to destroy our families. He's set to destroy our churches. He set out to destroy and dishonor the name of God. And this is the one that we have to contend with. Individually. This is not just Brother Dave and Brother Rhodes and Brother Roger. This is every one of us here has to deal with this situation. We have to deal with a personal devil. Oh, you believe in that old-fashioned devil with the pitchfork and the tail? No, I don't believe in that type of devil, but I believe in the devil that is a fallen angel who is wicked and evil, who tempted our Lord, and who, Peter says, who's walking about, and that refers to a spiritual sense, seeking whom he may devour. It's a real being that tested the Lord. It's a real being that Peter was talking about that's trying to destroy each one of the children of God. We need to take this seriously. Who James says, to submit yourself to God, resist the devil, and he'll flee from you. He wasn't talking about some fairy tale. He was talking about a living spiritual being who is our enemy. Now take courage. The courage is that we have the Lord God Almighty on our side. That's the encouragement of the warfare. And that's what Paul is saying right off the bat in Ephesians 6:10. Almighty God is on our side. The Lord, be strong, be strengthened in almighty power. It's not up to your strength or your power. God's power is the one that overcomes the strong man. Jesus. What's he called in the book of Revelation? The Alpha and the Omega. He's called the beginning and the end. He's called what? The Almighty. There's only one Almighty. Satan is not Almighty. He has power. He has strength. He can do many things, but he's not Almighty. There's only one Almighty, and that's the Lord Jesus Christ, God the Father, and God the Holy Spirit are the Almighty God. Put on the armor of God that you might stand against the wiles of Satan. For we wrestle not against flesh and blood. Too many times we're fighting against personalities. This person don't like this person. This person don't like that person. It's a personality conflict. But the real battle goes beyond that. When Peter tested the Lord and said, Lord, be that far from thee. What did the Lord say to Peter? Get behind me, Satan. See, he knew it went farther than just Peter. Satan was using Peter to get to the Lord. Oh, you can't go to the cross. You can't die. And what we have to remember, you and I know we don't like to think about this, but how many times have we been a mouthpiece for the devil? Maybe it's something you said to your wife, or something the wife says to the husband, or something we say to a friend, or something we just say in the wrong spirit, or it can be many different things, or discouragement. You know, the sad thing about believers who are out of the will of God and backslid, you know what they do to other believers? They discourage them. When you're around people that are just spiritually asleep, they will discourage you with their doubt, with their unbelief, with their the whole attitude is just one of giving up. They don't have the spirit of joy, because the joy of the Lord is in our strength, is our strength. And we hang around people like that, it's going to pull you down. We need to be around positive people, those whose eyes are looking to Jesus, those who know the Word of God is sure and steadfast, those that know, it says in the book of Revelation, Jesus is the true and faithful. Everything that He says will come to pass. He's our God. He's our Savior. He's our Lord. He's our Master. And He said in the book of Hebrews, I will never leave thee. I will never forsake thee. So we may boldly say, Brother Dave, the Lord is my helper. Not Brother Leroy, I'm flesh. Not Brother Dave, he's flesh. Now, we are to encourage one another. Paul says that we are to encourage one another with the same encouragement that we receive from God. Now, we are here to help each other, encourage and strengthen. By what? By saying, Brother, I went through that trial. Look to the Lord. He can deliver you from that. Oh, brother, I understand that. Or sister, I understand what you're saying. I had that same sin in my life. I sinned miserably in that. But God forgave me and restored my joy. It's real. We are going to sin at times in our lives, beloved. And there can be times either through a divorce or through different trials or through different things, you can get so low you won't realize how low you can get. And it takes the grace of God to reach down like Peter when he was sinking in the water, and God raised him up. So many times we say, who was it that walked on water? 99% will say, oh, Jesus, but we forget about Peter. He walked on water too. Until what? He saw the waves. He saw how it was getting so dangerous. And when he seen that, what happened? He began to sink. So Satan is bringing up the waves and all the storms of our lives to get our eyes off the Lord, that we would start sinking in despair. That's why Paul said in Hebrews, looking, and that word in the Greek means looking away from everything else, away from the storms of life, away from your trials, away from your troubles, away from your unbelief. Look to Jesus alone, who is the author and finisher of our faith. But we keep looking to the storm. We keep looking at the waves. And what happens? We get discouraged. It reminds me of a prayer when there was a flood coming and it was raining, and they had predicted big floods in one place in West Virginia. And they came to this godly woman who was a woman of prayer. They said, "Oh, sister, we need to pray. We need to pray." She said, "I'm caught up in my praying. Now it's time to trust God." There's a time to pray and there's a time to trust in the living God. You know, that's like Joshua when they went across Jordan there with the priest. That water did not open up until the priest's foot touched the water. Then it opened. Sometimes God, we're waiting on God to do something. Everybody wants God to act first. Me and Roger were talking about that earlier. Looking for some great miracle. Now, the priest could have waited there all day for God to divide that Jordan River. It would have never divided if they hadn't, by faith, stepped out and touched that water. When they did, it happened. There's faith involved in the Christian life. The just shall live by faith. The just shall live by faith. So by faith we put on the armor of God, that we may be able to stand against the wiles of the devil. For we wrestle not against flesh and blood, but against principalities, against powers, against the rulers of darkness of this world, against spiritual wickedness in high places. And I'll say this. This involves all the nations of the world, Brother Dave, as you were speaking about earlier. All these nations are in the world are under the influence of Beelzebub, Satan, the devil. He's causing chaos. He's causing confusion. And wickedness is abounding, as we see in our nation. Our nation is so far from God that the only thing waiting for America is judgment. Judgment. You read the book of Genesis, you read the Old Testament all the way through, and what do you see when the children of Israel went in to take the land? God bringing judgment upon those wicked nations for the very sins that's being practiced in America today. And God told Israel, if you do those things and you start worshiping other gods and idols, I will destroy you as a nation. God hadn't changed. Our nation, which is becoming more ungodly and more wicked and more wicked, and the world is becoming more wicked and ungodly, that's the reason the Lord says in the last day, this world will be consumed with the fire of heaven. He's coming back in flaming fire, taking vengeance on them that know not God and obey not the gospel of our Lord Jesus Christ. He's coming in judgment and with fire. Beloved, there's coming a day when the wrath of God will fall upon this world because of the sins and wickedness of the world. And, beloved, our nation is right in the middle of it. An ungodly, wicked generation we're living in. And oh, how we have to pray to God's grace and God's mercy. Lord, please keep me from the sins of this wicked world. We need to stand fast. Yes, we need to warn our children. We need to warn our young people. Don't play with sin. Don't flirt with sin. Sin will destroy you. Remember Moses, seeing him who was invisible, said he'd rather suffer with the children of God than to do what? Enjoy the pleasures of sin for a season. It's a little while we enjoy sin. But remember, there's a judgment day coming. There's a day coming when God shall separate the sheep from the goats, the wheat from the tares. He's going to say unto the one, enter thou into the joy of the Lord. There's the living hell and there's the living judgment. And it's a reality, beloved. We can't just ignore these things. It's coming. And it's fastly approaching. Now, I understand the feeling of Brother David, his urgency of prayer and concern for our nation. But beloved, because it is so true, there's something coming to our nation. It's going to put everyone on their knees. Judgment. So, oh, we need to stay close to God. Husband and wives, love each other with all your heart. And if you sin against each other, ask for forgiveness. Don't be too proud to say, I'm sorry, dear. I'm sorry, husband. I'm sorry, wife. Forgive me for what I said in haste. That's the Christian way to dwell together. We're not perfect, beloved. Brothers and sisters in the Lord, we may say something, or brother against brother. We can go to brother and say, I'm sorry, brother, I shouldn't have said that in the spirit that I said it. I was wrong. Are we living like that? Are we so proud of ourselves that we're not willing to say, I'm sorry, when we're wrong and we know we're wrong? That shows us the condition of a lot of hearts, beloved. This is fighting against the enemy. The way to overcome the enemy is by way of confession. And when pride lifts up its ugly head in our lives, we need to cut it, get the axe, and go to the root. And if we've hurt someone, we need to go to that individual, say, I'm sorry, forgive me. And that'll bind your fellowship and bind your marriage. It'll bind your friendship stronger than anything that you can do. But when we go against the commandments of God, it'll destroy you. You cannot serve evil and prosper spiritually. Wherefore, take unto you the whole armor of God that you may be able to withstand in the evil day, having done all to stand. That last words in there means a lot. Having done all to stand means to pray daily, read the Word of God daily. Are we reading God's Word daily? Are we feasting on the Lord Jesus Christ? Are we taking time to pray, as that song says, every day? The one hymn we sing says, take time to be holy. Speak off with your Lord. Spend time in secret. We need to be doing that. But we don't at times. We get careless. We get indifferent. We get concerns of the things of this world. And it chokes us and we become unfruitful. I have to say this. We're all guilty. There's no one here who can say, I'm not guilty. But we can go to the Lord in prayer and say, Lord, forgive me for being indifferent. Forgive me, Lord, for not taking this Christian life more serious. Help me, Lord, to be more fervent in spirit, serving the Lord. And having done all to stand. If we don't pray daily, we don't read the Word of God daily, we don't come to church and fellowship with the Lord, then we complain because we can't stand. This age needs to take God serious. We don't take God serious. I'll serve God when I have time. I'll serve God when it's not inconvenient. Now, I don't say this to anyone in particular, but to all of us. Are we sincere? Are we sincere in being obedient to the Lord? It's the Lord whom we profess to believe in. Do you really serve the Lord? Having done all to stand. Stand, therefore, having your loins girt about with truth. There's the Word of God. Is your mind situated with the Word of God? Are you filling your mind with God's Word? Having on the breastplate of righteousness and your feet shod with the preparation of the gospel of peace. Is the gospel of peace shedding in your heart? Let the peace of God dwell in your hearts. God's peace from Christ should be dwelling in our hearts. What is our hope built on? Nothing less than Jesus' blood and righteousness. There is our hope. Our hope is in Christ. Our hope is in His blood. Our hope is in His redemption. Beloved, our hope is not within ourselves. We are nothing. He is everything. Let Him have the preeminence. See, Brother Roger, I just about lift up holy hands to the Lord. A little bit more here than there, but I'm getting there. Oh, beloved, I pray that God will stir our hearts to be faithful to the Lord. Time is running out. Where is your loved ones today? Where is my loved ones today? How about the ones that are going through such trials right now that they're broken? But are we broken for them? Do we really care? Or we just give lip service? You know, Jesus said that many honor God with their lips. But what did he say? But their heart is far from me. And we all got to bow down at times and say, Lord, I'm afraid I just give lip service. Help me, Lord, to love you with a whole heart. And Brother Roger preached in some of his sermons, a whole heart. As he said in the book of the Psalms. The gospel of peace. That's the only hope we have as sinners. The gospel of the blood of Jesus Christ cleanses us from all sin. The gospel where Jesus says, come unto me, all ye that labor and heavy laden, and I will give you rest. I, who? I, the Son of God, will give you rest. For my burden is easy. The yoke is easy, and my burden is light. Oh, beloved, the only place to find strength and comfort is in the Master, the Lord. We can be going through trials and tribulation, and he can speak peace to our hearts. What did one of the Peter put it? Joy unspeakable and full of glory. Oh, hallelujah. One glimpse of the Lord can change everything. One glimpse. The gospel of peace, because our sins have been forgiven for his namesake. What did Paul say in Ephesians 1:6? We've been accepted in the Beloved. Didn't say we accepted him. It said we were accepted in him. Because he died for our sins. Our sins have been put away. We are saved by his righteousness. Nothing in my hands I bring. Simply to the cross I cling. You say, how can I know if I'm one of his? Are you a believer? That's the only way we can know. Are you a believer in the Lord Jesus Christ? Why did Philip ask the eunuch? Do you believe that Jesus Christ is the Son of God? It's a very important question because many don't believe that today. If thou believest, then you can be baptized. What's the condition of being baptized? You're professing a faith in the Son of God, the eternal Son of God. That's the condition of a person going under the water. Do you believe that the second person of the Trinity was incarnated and died in your substitute? You don't believe that, you got no business being baptized. Above all, taking the shield of faith, wherewith you shall be able to quench all the fiery darts of the wicked. Now, this is the area where we sometimes fail. Satan will throw a dart at us and we'll put up the shield of faith. But he keeps it up day after day after day. And one moment when you get depressed, you get discouraged, you just give it up, and all of a sudden the faith goes down and the dart gets you. See, he's consistent. He's always tempting. He's always there to be our enemy. He's always waiting to give you the bait that you need to cause you to fall. It can be many things. It can be money. It can be power. It can be male. It can be female. It can be many things that Satan will put in front of you will cause you to fall. And we have to be on our guard constantly. If it's contrary to what God's Word teaches, then I ask you in the name of the Lord, give it up. God, that would do nothing but destroy you. Sin will never prosper in our lives. Never. Sin is our enemy because Satan, who is the enemy, works through what? Sin. Sin. And he goes on to say, and take the helmet of salvation and the sword of the Spirit, which is the Word of God. That's why if you don't read the Word of God, you're going to fail before you even begin. As a family, I'd like to encourage you to read the Word of God. Mother and I have been going through the scriptures this year through the Old Testament together, and it's really been a blessing. I want to encourage you as a family, go through God's Word together. And individually, have your own devotion. The sword of the Spirit, which is the Word of God. Praying always. Now, we're coming down to the closing of this. Praying always with all prayer and supplications in the Spirit, and watching thereunto with all perseverance and supplications for all saints. All believers. All believers. Now, this is where David was mentioning about prayer. The Bible says to pray for those in authority. It's our God-given responsibility to pray for those in authority in America. We're commanded to do that. This is not an option. We're commanded to pray for those in authority. You as a church are commanded to pray for us, that we would have the wisdom and the grace of God to serve you with meekness and humbleness, and be able to teach and preach the Word of God. Prayer. They say you can know how close you are to God by your prayer life, which is so true. If we pray, it's saying what? We believe God is our sufficiency. If we don't pray, what are we saying? Sufficiency is of myself. I can handle my own problems. I can take care of myself. I'm a big boy. Well, yeah, how big are you? When the enemy comes up against you and you're not standing in the grace of God, you're going to fall. Because only as we stand in the strength of the Lord, beloved, can we stand. We have to fight the lust of the flesh. We have to fight the lust of the eyes, the lust of the flesh, and the pride of life. All of us as Christians have to deal with these things. But thank God. Closing, I want to read one of my favorite verses in the book of Romans chapter 8. There's hope because we serve the Lord. There's strength because God says, what should we say to these things? If God be for us, who can be against us? Yes, Satan is against us. He says over there in Ephesians 6:12, he's against us, against us, against us, against us. There's a lot against us. But God says here, who and ultimately can be against you if God is for you? They cannot win. We have won the battle. If you read the book of Revelation, you see we've won, Brother Jeremiah. Take encouragement, children of God. We have won the battle. We're on the winning side, though it looked dark at times. That's why we have to walk by faith. Sometimes our hearts fail us, but we see a little dim of light, and the Lord manifests Himself as the light of the world to our souls, and we're lifted up. We need to see Him as He is, the true and living God Almighty. Yes, we have many enemies. Yes, we have a lot against us. But yes, we have God on our side. We're winning. We will win this battle, beloved. So take faith in the Lord. He that spared not His own Son, but delivered Him up for us all, how shall He not with Him freely give us what? All things that pertain unto life and godliness. God says He'll give us everything we need to live the Christian life. God said, if I gave my Son, what is your needs compared to that? I need grace to stand. I need grace for forgiveness. Let us come boldly unto the throne of grace that we may obtain what? Mercy. But what is mercy compared to His Son? Oh, beloved, let us rejoice. The greater is He that's in you than he that's in the world. May we pray. Our gracious and loving Father, we thank You for Your encouragement from Your Word. Pray that You'll stir our hearts to be faithful to God, to be faithful to the Lord Jesus Christ, to walk in the Spirit and not fulfill the lusts of the flesh. Pray that You'll give us strength. Help us not to look down on others, but to look down with mercy and strength and comfort to help a falling brother or sister. Lord, help us to be there when they need us. Help us to be intercessors and pray for those we love, those around us, our friends, those in need. Oh, Father, we are in a spiritual warfare, and we pray that You'll help us and teach us to be what we should be, to be there like the Good Samaritan to help a person in need. In the name of the Lord Jesus Christ, we offer thanks and give praise to the name of the Lord Jesus Christ. Amen. Does someone have a song in closing?